Hour number two, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, apparently a lot of our listeners also want to hear the other bums list that you started, and then we realized that, no, when we say bums, we actually meant NFL.
Well, I'll tell you.
Physical butts.
Well, I'll tell you like this, right? Our fans and our listeners can call up before they ask their question. They can say who they would put on that list for them. And maybe every guest that we have and we have on the show, we should put on that list, understanding that the next guest is married. But it's okay. You can put somebody on that bum list. It could be somebody from your childhood. You know, because to me, on the low, Topanga, man, from Life Goes, Topanga should be on that list. Listen. But okay, let's not do that.
Let's go to Sir Mix-a-Lot from Seattle calling in right now. Sir,
let's not do that. Let's not go down that rabbit hole. Because
not.
I forgot we work for Mickey.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, and I don't want.
It's
all
right.
Yeah, I don't want Mickey to put us out of there.
Yeah, it's all right. But we've got more to get to here, and we will with your calls. 888-ESPN 888-729-3776. So right now we go to the Goodyear Hotline. We talk to Rob Ninkovich, friend of the show, joins us each week. Nico, happy New Year. Good to hear from you. How you doing?
What's up, guys? I'm doing well.
So we were just talking in the previous segment about something that – so I was a sports writer for 20 years. And one thing that I did with the three sports I covered, the NBA, the NFL, and the NHL. And so in those sports, you have the opportunity to vote for awards, postseason awards. I didn't love that because I always felt like your vote – like if you didn't put in the research, you weren't doing it right, and – some guys that deserved it should have gotten recognition. It's a lot of things that I feel like – I always felt like players, your peers should decide who's the best. But there was a writer in Chicago that says he's not going to give Aaron Rodgers an MVP vote, mainly because he thinks he's a jerk. Like, that's it. Nothing to do with his skill, nothing to do any of that. Just he's a jerk. He shouldn't get it. He doesn't deserve to be MVP, so I'm not voting for him. When you hear that, you yourself as a former player, how does that make you feel?
I mean, it doesn't make sense that you would have somebody that can have bias towards someone's personality versus their performance and make you not want to vote for them. So I think if somebody came out and said that, they should probably not have a vote.
Correct.
It should be just based on the play on the field, and that's pretty much it. So if you're a great football player, then you should be judged. If you're an MVP, just on how you play football, not things outside of that. So, unfortunately, I mean, it won't be a unanimous decision on his MVP, but there'll be one vote that doesn't vote for him.
Yeah. I mean, ironically, as somebody from Chicago, your hometown, I understand the hate that they have for Green Bay, especially since he says he owns you and things like that, but you can't let your personal feelings get involved with what your eyes see. You know, we've seen this, though, Nick, and in the Hall of Fame, we see T.O. that didn't go in as a first ballot Hall of Famer. We know that he was. We also, you know, saw Charles Haley not go in. You talk about a guy before Tom Brady was the all-time Super Bowl winner with 5. You know, and now we see another guy that we know that probably should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and Antonio Brown, and probably won't be because of his shenanigans topped off with what he did in MetLife Stadium. Now, I know they haven't been able to cut him yet, but eventually they will. Do you think another team should give him a shot in the postseason, a team like maybe the Tennessee Titans or somebody like that? Or do you think he's done?
I think he's done. I don't think another team will take the risk. You know, if you just think about the events of being with the Steelers, how that all went down. Then he goes to Oakland. Or no, actually, the Patriots, how that all went down. Then Oakland, or I guess he was in Oakland and he went to the Patriots.
Yeah.
So however it went down, it didn't go down well. And then this latest thing that goes down, a locker room is so sensitive towards things, like certain things that might come into place. And if you don't have, you know, tremendous leadership, it could maybe go the opposite way. So if you're a playoff team and you've gotten yourself to a position where you're at right now, you know, I think the NFL in general, you look at the AFC, the NFC, kind of wide open. And if you're one of those teams, you probably wouldn't want to risk, you know, any type of dysfunction, or forbid you sign a guy in mid game, he's not happy, so he decides to leave again, because what's preventing him from doing something like that again? I think we've all seen that the guy does what he wants.
Do you think Tom Brady?
I don't think that a team wants that. I don't think a team wants that.
Do you think that Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl without Antonio Brown last year?
I mean, if it was a fifth, right, we'd all be drunk. I think that it would have been more difficult. Yeah, of course. But I almost would rather bet with Tom and lose my money than bet against him and lose that way. So I really wouldn't say that it wouldn't have happened. You know, was having AB on the roster helpful? Of course. Does it hurt this team now? Yes. Is that fair to the guys on the roster? No. No, it's not. So you can hear all the reasons why, you know, his ankle wasn't right. But at the end of the day, it was fine enough for him to run off the field and do jumping jacks with peace signs. Mm-hmm. So if you can run off and, I mean, if you can run and jump and do all that stuff, it's hard for me to believe that your ankle is so bad you couldn't play. So yeah. I just think it's, you know, another example of maybe an athlete that's had a lot of things, really great things given to him because of his athletic ability. And, you know, I guarantee this, if he was running a 5.40, he wouldn't be on a team. So I think he just definitely burned some bridges that won't be rebuilt.
Yeah, it's interesting, all the things you just said there, too, including the fact of the impact in a locker room this late in the season as well, and the skepticism that I think would be met the minute he walked in. We're talking with Rob Ninkovich, and Bart and I, we also have differing opinions on this, and I'm curious how you feel about this. So Aaron Rodgers clearly wants to play, even though there's nothing to play for in Week 18, and they're playing the Lions. They'll have the bye, so it gives him a couple of weeks off, maybe get that toe right, whether or not Eli believes that it's a real injury or not. I said I would rather wrap him in bubble wrap, right? Like, I'd rather just rest, get it right. Why play him in this game? I know he wants to play. You know, he's made that pretty clear. He wants to play, probably because he wants to get to 4,000 yards. He wants to get the MVP, whatever it takes. But Bart's like, no, you need to play. You need to stay in rhythm. For some guys, and he had the experience of playing teams that had the bye and they just couldn't find that same rhythm. They weren't as sharp because they had that time off. Where do you stand on this? Would you rather rest him, make sure he's right, don't take any chances? Or do you think as a player, nah, I got to keep playing because I don't want to lose that rhythm?
No, you got to keep playing. I've been a part of teams that Bart might know were in a good spot and they just kind of lost rhythm and they got their asses beat. So, you know, I think that in football, especially offensively, timing is everything. Firing on all cylinders is everything. So if you can go out there offensively and just keep doing what you're doing, play fast, get the ball out of your hands. Like, there is no reason to wrap him in bubble wrap. Let him go play football. He's played in 16 regular games this season. Go out there, dominate, keep it rolling. Take your week off because you're a first round bye team. Keep practicing hard. Try and keep that rhythm up, because I think, you know, 1 week is enough just to throw you off a little bit. 2 weeks not playing, I mean, that could definitely be an issue when you try to get back on the field, especially in the playoffs when everything is a little bit faster, a little bit harder hitting, coverage is a little tighter. So everything ramps up a little bit in the playoffs.
You know, Neek, nobody's probably better qualified than you to answer this question. Who do you think was the one hardest player for you to prepare for? Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning. I know you lost to Eli, but who was the better player, and who do you have a harder time preparing for?
That's a tough question. I mean, honestly, the hardest to prepare for was the brother of Eli, and that's Peyton. But we all know that. The both of them had different challenges. You knew that Ben was a big body guy. When I played against Ben, you know, he still had the ability to throw with guys on his legs, and he was kind of early in his career, he was a guy that can scramble around in the backfield there and let guys uncover and throw the ball down the field. And he was a big, strong guy. So I think that aspect of it, I'd give Ben the nod because of that, because of his ability to extend plays. Eli was a terrific quarterback, and, you know, it was a tough playing him as well, but you knew where he was going to be when the ball was snapped. He was going to be on at the spot. So if I could beat the guy in front of me, I could get to him. You know, Big Ben, it was kind of a throw up, you know, a toss up on if I beat my guy, he might not be there. He might step up in the pocket, extend a play, scramble. I might wrap him up and he still throws the ball. So it was key to get his arms, which was always a big key, was to try and wrap him up and get his arms at his side so he couldn't throw. But I'd say Big Ben, he was a big boy out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, and again, 18 years. You know what I love about that draft class, Nick, is this. 04 draft class, that those quarterbacks, the one common theme with the three of them, including Phillip Rivers, is that they were always available. Right? An amazing stat was Roethlisberger played in 86% of his team's games. Eli Manning, as you know, had that Iron Man streak. And Phillip Rivers, too, is always available, always able to play. Like, that's not – I mean, it sounds like – so what? You're supposed to. But in the NFL, when you're a quarterback and you're playing in big games like all of them played in, it's not that common to be that available to your teams, and that's a big part of greatness.
Yeah, I mean, it's availability always is more important than ability. So if you're able to get there every single weekend and your team can count on you, I mean, I remember Roethlisberger, I'm sure you guys remember this as well, playing with a size bigger shoe because he had an injury at his foot and he was wearing two different shoe sizes. So you got to be tough to play that many games, to play that many snaps, to play that many years continually. I mean, they all played in a different era too. I mean, in 04, you could drop weight on a quarterback. It's completely different now. Guys are going to be able to play a lot longer because of these rules. The game is a lot softer. Techniques are a lot, you know, far worse than they ever have been as far as blocking technique and tackling technique. So when I watch a game now, I'm like, what? It's not as refined. If you're watching a game, you know, I was on NFL. I was watching one of the NFL stations. I think it was a rewind of the Steelers Arizona Super Bowl, and that was some good football. You know, they had veterans on defense. You had Kurt Warner as your quarterback. Like, that feels like that's when football was at its best around that time.
But you know what's the crazy thing, Neek? These guys still missing games. Kyler Murray still missed a month. Lamar Jackson missed a month.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, I don't know. It's like the weaker and easier we make the game, the weaker the players become. Because they miss more games now than ever.
Bart, you got to realize, too, nowadays, they got other people that are like, yo, let's protect this $40 million a year that's about to come to you. So, you know, in years past, the contracts weren't nearly as nice, and the off-the-field contracts and all the sponsorships and, you know, selling T-shirts on your Instagram, like, all that stuff wasn't there. So now you got a lot more people trying to make sure that their investment is going in the right direction.
It's amazing. Baker played hurt this year, and it might have cost him. Is that fair to say?
Good thing it wasn't his throwing shoulder, right?
right. Exactly.
That was coming.
It's crazy, right? We talk about Aaron Rodgers playing with a broken foot. This dude got a non-throwing shoulder injury. We talking, oh, my God, I can't believe he played with it. It's not his non-throwing shoulder.
Mean,
you don't have to ask it to do anything.
Bart, it's crazy, bro. Like, come on. We're linebackers, and we might have had a shoulder tear, rotator cuff. We're tackling people and fighting off guards and tackles and using our shoulder, and that, you know, nobody talked about anything like that when a linebacker has a torn rotator cuff. But if a quarterback on his non-throwing shoulder, people say, well, it's hard to take a snap. Like, come on now. Like, it's your non-throwing shoulder. You don't do anything with it.
Is that why he doesn't hand off so much? Is that why he's throwing so much? Because it hurts to hand it off.
Right. It affects him handing off to the right. Like, come on, man. What are we talking about, man? Like, that's what I understand.
Yeah.
And listen, I think he played. It was selfish why he didn't play. Right? Because I think he played because he didn't want Case Keenum to get in there and take him to the postseason.
Ooh.
For them to say, oh, man, we got the same productivity with Case Keenum than we got with him. So why are we going to pay this dude?
Mm.
That's what they should have did, and instead they got to watch the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch the Browns, they definitely, in the start of the year and the hype and the roster and all that stuff, you would have thought they were a shoe-in for the Super Bowl, but not the case. That's why they play the games and everyone tunes in, because you can say as much as you want about something until they go out there and actually play, then that's the final result.
They are easily the biggest disappointment, right? Easily the biggest disappointment of the NFL season. Could you think of another team that had more expectations? And, I mean, they came up small in a big spot. Like, there's no other team I could think of that is more disappointing.
Yeah, the Browns are going brown. Like, I was in that division for a long time, and the Browns are going to brown. But, Nick, I want to ask you this. Who's your defensive player of the year?
Oh, we don't ever talk about that.
Man, that's tough because there's a lot of great ones. Man.
TJ almost broke it in the regular season. He's one away, one and a half away. And I almost want to give it to him because that sack that Strahan got was a – like, come on, man. Like, come on. The wink,
yeah,
wink, fall down.
I like TJ's game. I give it to TJ. You know, he plays really hard. I love his move on the outside, his moves, not just one move, but his ability to – you know, the one thing that I love to watch is a ex-defensive end linebacker, like pass rush guy, is just – you know, your process. And as a rusher, you have to have a process on how to beat the guy in front of you. It's not always, it's just a win. It's a setup. And I think he does a great job of setting up his money moves, which anyone listening, and we're like, what is he talking about? It's a chess match. You're going against this guy. You're setting things up and you're showing him things to where he doesn't anticipate when you're going to beat him. And, you know, that's the best part about pass rush. It's always a mind game. You're trying to mess with them. You're trying to get in their head. You're trying to show them, he's not fast enough to beat me on the edge. And then guess what? Yep, you gotcha. So I like watching his process. It's always fun to watch. And then I'd say, you know, Parsons, we all know that he's had a great – he's defensive rookie of the year for sure. But I just love his – Micah Parsons. I like his ability to go on and off the ball. Inside linebacker, off the ball, on the ball, pass rusher. Like, guys like that are hard to find, especially in 2022. You can't find guys that are more than one trick ponies and just, oh, he's an inside linebacker. That's all he does. Like, he does everything, which is – I love to see it.
You know what I want to ask you, Nick, is AFC, which team would be more dangerous coming out of the bye? Would it be – and I'm just – I believe there's still – possibilities for these, the Titans or the Patriots?
I think the Titans, depending on the health of Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I really think that they are a scary team with Derrick Henry. Without him, they're still a good, hard-nosed football team, and I respect the heck out of what Mike Vrabel has done with that team. After you lose Derrick Henry, there's a lot of teams that would have went the other way. The Patriots, the one thing that they lack to me is just the big play ability when you've got to score in like a minute or two to get down the field and score quickly. You know, the Jacksonville game, Jacksonville, to me, I feel like if you get beat like that, they should just take your salary and donate it to a charity. I don't think you should be able to actually put that in your bank account if you play that poorly.
You feel guilty taking that check. Yeah.
it's terrible. Like, just – it just boggles my mind to think, like, you could just be so bad and you're still going to get paid. It doesn't, like, to me, it doesn't make sense. You got to have some pride in what you do. And
they got the clown out this week. They got the clown out coming this week.
So for me, you know, the Patriots and what Bill's done and Mac Jones, like, people aren't giving Mac Jones enough credit for being a rookie. You know, they talk about his arm strength and all that stuff. The kid is smart. The kid is good. Yeah. He understands situations. He understands, you know, how to put his team in the right spot. The Patriots just need, like, one big-time receiver. Like, I'm talking a number one. Like, imagine if the Patriots had an A.J. Brown or a D.K. Metcalf or, you know, just a big-time guy.
Yeah.
So I think that's the one piece that they're missing that they'll probably go get this offseason.
Yeah, that's something, right? So you always say if you have to play from behind in the playoffs, you got to have somebody not only that can throw it and get you down the field, 2-minute drill, but also somebody that can go up and get the ball as well. And maybe that's what they're lacking. But would you have Mac as the as the rookie of the year, the offensive rookie of the year, or is it Ja'Marr Chase?
Come on, man.
Man,
is it that easy? Is it that easy, though? I don't think it's that easy, Bart.
Ja'Marr Chase, he's done something we have never seen. This dude went for 266 yards twice, and the first time was against the Ravens, against Marlon Humphrey.
No, I think the hardest part for me to decide, like, just based on pure freak athlete, of course, Chase is a freak. He's going to be there a long time. But just the intangibles that a rookie has to have. Like, we don't see rookies have any success like we've seen with Mac Jones really ever.
I agree.
It's really, really hard to do it.
So usually
if you're really fast, if you're really fast and you're really big and you're really explosive, like, yeah, you just go out there and beat the guy in front of you and your quarterback will throw it to you. Like, that's great. But the intangibles, the little things that it takes to be a good, great, like a great rookie quarterback, is really hard. So that's why I'm kind of torn. But
Now, Nick, we talk about the nuance of running routes, especially being able to decipher man or zone when you're going against one of those teams that rotate the coverage afterwards. You know, we talking about the best rookie to come out since Randy Moss. You know, he's just beat Justin Jefferson's record. I mean, he's had the biggest impact. And usually when you decide that, you go to, okay, well, let's look at the records of the teams. Well, the Cincinnati Bengals won the AFC North. Like, that's tough. That's tough because his team is winning too. It's not like he just had a great season and put up a bunch of numbers. His team has just done something that we didn't expect to do, and it's largely because of his productivity on the outside.
Nico, what he just did there, by the way, is filibuster right up to the break, so you can't answer now then.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let him do that. I agree with you, though.
I'll go with Bart. Go Chase. I'll go with Bart. Sorry.
Hey, we love talking to you, Rob. Thanks so much, man. All the best.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks, Nick.
Rob Nikovich on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Bart and Han, broadcast live from Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So, again, a lot to get to here, including what's coming up with your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And, oh, by the way, there's a call by an official that you have to hear. Because sometimes officiating, like, you always want to yell and scream and you hate referees and all that stuff. But every now and then you get somebody that has a personality and you're like, you know what? I need more of that in my life. That is coming up after Bart tells us about O'Reilly.
I tell you what, O'Reilly is – I need O'Reilly in my life right now. Are your wipers, blades, chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blade, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection of just the right wipers for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wipers for free. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get there or be square.
The College Football National Championship. Presented by AT&T, the top-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide look to repeat as national champions when they face Kirby Smart's third-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Coverage begins Monday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. All right, Bart, halfway through the show. You know what that means. What time is it?
audio files.
We were talking about this yesterday when you just randomly brought up, will Zion play this season? And it's a great question because we're wondering, when is he going to play? R.J. Barrett last night went for 32 points for the Knicks. He was a third pick in that draft. Zion went one. And we thought it was a three-player draft, but right now it feels like a one-player draft, and that one player is not Zion. It's the guy that went number two, Ja Morant, who, if you have not been paying attention, not only has been tearing up the league, but he's also got the Memphis Grizzlies on a winning streak, 10 games over 500, and very much in the playoff picture in the West. Last night, 36 points, 8 assists, plus 24, by the way, as the Grizzlies, not last night, I should say, this is 2 days ago, on Monday night, beat the Nets. And, I mean, he had his dunk on a break that was special. Remember, he put 41 on the Lakers and LeBron. Like, he's had some big games against some of the star teams, and now people are talking about Ja Morant should be an all-star.
Oh, yeah.
And one of his teammates, who's actually a terrific addition, this is a great player, Desmond Bane, he said, all-star? No, no, that's not enough. There's more that we should be considering for Ja Morant.
I mean, people debating whether or not he should be an all-star. I mean, I think we should be debating whether or not he's the best point guard in the league. I mean, I don't think that, it's any question that he's an all-star. I think that, the real conversation is he the best point guard in the league?
Yeah,
I mean, I think so. I mean, that's a silly question. You know, ask me that.
I mean, he is a little biased, but I will add that I love Ja Morant. Steph Curry, though, however, is also having a pretty good season.
Yeah. But a lot of people see Steph Curry as like a shooting guard because he shoots so much. Right?
Nah, he's a point, though.
I know.
But still, I love what he's doing, though. He's box office. You want to see him play.
He's Derrick Rose.
That's not bad. Not a bad comparison.
Not
a bad comparison.
When Derrick Rose won the MVP, was that his second year?
He was 22 years old. Yeah, the youngest.
But guess
ever
what?
Doing.
He shoots the three-pointer better than Derrick Rose. That's the difference in his game. You talk about great players adding something to their game every single year. He's added a high three-point percentage. And you heard Kevin Durant. Listen, Kevin Durant is the barometer. If he call you the unicorn, if he call you something, then it's legit because his basketball acumen is second to none. And he says, I see this young man blossoming and right before our eyes, and I think we're witnessing it too. And I tell you what, in short order, he's got you can say, okay, well, he's not number one. He'll be two or three in short order if he's not already.
Averaging 25 a game, and as Bart mentioned, his three-point shooting has gone up 10% from last season. From 30% last season, he's at 40% this season.
That's why we hate Ben Simmons. That's why we hate Ben Simmons.
Because
you can improve. No, that's why we're so disappointed. Because we think that Ben Simmons doesn't want to be a great player. Because great players, if they have holes in their game, they plug them fast. LeBron James couldn't shoot when he first got in the league. Now he shoots that three. He's not great, but he shoots it, and you can't play off of him and disrespect him.
Yeah, and if you can't go – yeah, right. If everybody – the whole league knows you can only go left, spend the offseason working on your right hand so you can go right. So that
got
you can
that Julius Randle? Got that Julius Randle? Never mind.
Anyways. So Ja Morant, though, is an all-star. There's no doubt about it. It's great to see. He's a lot of fun to watch, and I love that comparison to Derrick Rose. All right. Meanwhile, so back to the NFL. Now, remember, we talked about this. It's an incredible thing that happened. Jalen Hurts walking off the field after beating Washington. And the fans are leaning over the tunnel on the way to the tunnel, and the guardrail breaks at FedEx Field in Washington, and all these like five or six fans fell.
Yeah, they're Philly fans.
And they just missed Jalen Hurts as he's walking by. And, some fans, the funny thing is, Bart, if that happened, if that's like you or me, are you getting up right away, or are you laying there like, my neck, my back?
Yeah. You know what? He was dapping him up. As he had just led them to a win.
He was helping them up is what he was doing.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying they were leaning over because he was dapping both sides up.
But
and they leaned over
still,
just a little bit too far.
Way too far. So, and again, he didn't get hurt. That's important. But some other people might have gotten hurt. There's been a lot of controversy now about how FedEx handled it, how FedEx Field handled it, how the Washington football team handled it. And Jalen Hurts now has been outspoken about it. Here's him talking about how the franchise and the league – should be looking into this.
I tried to handle the situation with a lot of poise and show compassion for the people that fell down, really. But I know it could have been so much worse. It kind of didn't hit me till after the fact, having some time to reflect on it and think about it. I just wanted to see what could be done to make sure it doesn't happen again. That's all I really care about.
Well, one, they should put some signs up there that saying no leaning over the rails. And, it's only going to hold up to so much. So the only thing they can do is make that section permanent. I'm assuming that they take that piece down because not that far.
No, did you see the pictures? They used zip ties.
Yeah. Well, they
put the railing back up with zip ties.
Well, that's for right now. But they're going to
do it.
They're going to have to put like a bolt that comes out, and they're going to have to fasten it and be able to take it off, because I think that's a removable piece, right? Because that's the first roll, and so it's not really that high. It's maybe 8 feet off the ground, which is still too far from anybody to be falling. So they're probably going to have to just, put the boats, the boats that come out, and they put the rivets on it and they bolt it down before. But also they're going to have to tell people that they can't be leaning over like that, because just imagine, it was like five or six people leaning over there. That's like 1,000 pounds of pressure leaning over, forcing it to lean over like that. Yeah. So it's tough.
Yeah. Well, again,
put something before there where they can't get to that part.
I mean, it just never happens, right? It happened there, and it's in a stadium that they are not putting money into because they want a new stadium, and that creates more of the controversy there. All right, Bart, officials, for the most part, better to be just, seen and not heard, right?
Yes.
Better that they aren't part of the game. You don't want to know. When you're talking about the officials, that means something's going wrong with the game, right? You want to have a game where you're not even thinking about them, except for sometimes the ones that have great personality, and that includes Wes McCauley, who's an NHL ref, and he's a guy that's already been viral a couple of times with things that he's done, the way he calls the games, a lot of enthusiasm for the sport. And listen to the way he calls. So this is the first period. It was the San Jose Sharks and the Detroit Red Wings, and there was a fight. And so he's now calling the penalty. As you know, like in the NFL,
yeah,
NHL refs, you turn on the mic so that everybody in the arena hears the call, and also on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So McCauley announces the penalties that he gave for fighting, and he does it in only a way that Wes McCauley can do it.
Side says he's going to mix it up with Milton.
Detroit 21, San Jose. Both guys, five each for fighting.
Attaboy.
What a
Wes
call.
McCauley in great
Love
form.
It.
Five for fighting. Way to go, Wes.
I mean, can we get him to the WWE? I mean, can we get him? Doesn't he?
Well, you know me, Gene.
Yeah, that's what I thought of right away. Like, do you remember back in the day, it was the official was like, giving him the business, right?
Oh, yeah. Gorilla Monsoon would be his name. One of the greatest voices of WWE, Gorilla Monsoon, went from wrestler to inside, then Booker T was good. And I like every time the Macho King would go in there. But I tell you what, Gorilla Monsoon, that's kind of
like
who
that,
he talked like.
From an official?
I love it, man.
For fighting!
Listen, do your job with a little pizzazz, man. I mean, we talk about in this company the great Stuart Scott and the pizzazz that he added to, like, just – breaking down play, play by play or the highlights. That's what we want. We want your personality. If it's not you, don't fake it. But if that's you and you like doing stuff with a little pizzazz, man, go ahead and do it. We've all seen that crossing guard. Remember when you be in traffic and you hate going there?
Yeah.
And you see that crossing guard? He ah. You like, okay. He like, come on, do, blowing his little whistle, make you feel bad. You don't even trip. You like, you know what? No, that just made my damn day.
That's a great point.
Now, did the Red Wings win? That's the bigger point. Did the Red Wings win?
That's for you to know.
You
were a Red Wings fan. How dare you come on this show and not know if they won or lost their game? I almost don't even want to tell you.
Well, they won 6-2, so I was checking to see if you knew. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ryan, my secret angel. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, now you're going to give it away. All right. Well, that's Audio Files. Wes McCauley, keep being you, man.
Did they throw, octopus out there? Did they throw octopus?
They always do.
Yeah, baby.
Well, it depends on – wait, where was this game? I don't know.
Don't matter. Next big event we go to, time we go to the Knicks, we sitting in the ESPN booth, and they win, I'm going to throw octopus as far as I can.
No,
I hope it lands on Spike.
You can't do that in an NBA game.
Why not?
You can't get thrown
out. I'm going to throw it at Spike.
Because you're going to get thrown out, and then they're going to go, oh, that's Bart. Oh, wait. Oh, isn't he with Han? Oh, where's he at? Let's go get him out of here, too. And then I can't go to the game.
It's the
I don't want to be banned.
Man. Okay.
Right. No octopus at a Knicks game, please.
I'll throw halibut.
But can I ask you this? Will there be more Baker in Cleveland after this season? Or could that era be over? we will discuss. We have your calls, too. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Want to hear from you. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
January 4th, 1992, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And it all started, and off we went.
ESPN Radio.
Celebrating the greatest moments in sports for the past 30 years. This is ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Welcome back, Bart and Han. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Hey, Bart, so we know that normally it would have been this week because it's usually 17 weeks, 16 games in NFL season until today. Now we have 17 games, 18 weeks. But that Monday, they call it Black Monday. That's the day where a lot of coaches, they get that pink slip. They get that call to the office. And your services are no longer needed here. Now, we already know that two franchises will be looking for a head coach, mainly because during the season, those coaches that were there to start the season were gone. John Gruden gone with the Raiders, and so they'll be looking for a head coach. And then Urban Meyer with Jacksonville, they'll be looking for a head coach. That's only two.
Yes.
It's hard to believe that in the NFL, where it is not for long, including coaches, that only two vacancies will be available this year. I believe there were seven, if I'm not mistaken, last year.
Yep.
So
I think so.
Are there other teams you can expect? Do you the rumors are from Mike Zimmer in Minnesota that the Vikings job could be open, that maybe he hears about it on Monday morning, right? Would you say that's one potential opening?
Yep. And then I would say within that division, I don't know if you mentioned Nagy, but we know that.
Chicago Bears,
Another one bites the dust right there.
Matt Nagy seems like somebody also that it could be on the hot seat. Could be. There were rumors that he was going to be gone on Thanksgiving. That didn't happen.
Right.
Because they don't fire coaches in the season.
I wonder if the general manager is gone with him. But
Ryan
also, I would say, we have two maybe potentially opt-outs that because we always have a surprise, right?
Okay.
So I wonder if Pete Carroll – if Russell Wilson says, I'm done, at 70 years old, says, you know what, I think I'm done too. I had a hell of a run. I proved that I can be a NFL coach after failing with the Jets, going to USC, becoming a champion there, then coming to become a champion there. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like it's time for a rebuild there. And, you know, how are you rebuilding with a 70-year-old guy that you expect him to coach five more years? That would be 75 years old. So I don't see that happening. So maybe he's the guy that opts out. And then also in Carolina, whenever Tapper, you know, one of the richest owner in football says, hey, man, I made a mistake. Usually when people are rich and they got the money to outspend their problems and their mistakes, they just do it. They just cut the cord. They don't just wait. Yeah. Right. So, you know, we saw it happen down with Shaq Khan. Right. Urban Meyer had a lot of money still left on that contract. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if he'd go try to pay
him. They got out of it. Remember, they got out of it because of Khan.
Right. But I believe that Tapper might say, hey, man, I'll give you half of it. You can go do what you want to do. You can go coach somewhere else and go anywhere else you want to go. But you got to get out of here and you don't have to work. You know, it's a 7-year deal. I pay you for four. You get the hell up out of here.
Get back to college pretty quickly, too.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm
now,
sure.
Now, what about some other – the Seattle one's interesting, and it would be less of a fire and more of a, you know, it's time
resign,
to
resign. Yeah.
New York Giants, Joe Judge.
Yeah,
Is he talking his way out of a job?
I think he has. I mean, he's under pressure, and he doesn't handle
it well. I think the Giant job, it's almost like, what are my options before I fire you?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know if that's an immediate
fire. Well, what's your options?
That might be if we hear from, like, if Sean Payton wants to leave New Orleans, you know, or if there's another coach that
general
expresses interest, or a general manager won't take the job unless, no, I need a clean sweep. Then maybe that one opens up. How about Denver?
Well, we have Denver as well. Vic Fangio is one of the older coaches. Got his start late. So I think Vic Fangio definitely could be over with. Got to get a younger coach.
Yeah, we definitely need Barshadamas on this one. Maybe later in the week, Barshadamas will tell us what jobs will open and maybe who will get them. We are back in 10 seconds.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
All right, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart
baby.
Scott.
Can you ride for me?
Yes.
Can you take your throw to me?
Breaking moves, Bart.
Baby.
Could be a move that we see at some point in this offseason. That once we get past the playoffs and everything else, you know, quarterbacks are hard to find. And once you get one, you want to give it as much of an opportunity before you decide, all right, this ain't working. You know, like, I mean, the Cardinals gave Josh Rosen a year and then decided, no, we can get a better one in the draft. And I mean, look, it ends up being the right move, right?
It's like, where's Waldo, man? This
Some
guy's
people,
got
– I know.
He's
I know.
Got,
I feel, yeah,
man,
you wonder,
I feel
like,
so bad for him, man.
But think about that. Like, normally you would look at a franchise and say, how are you moving on? You just drafted this guy. You don't even know what you've got. Nope, we know what we've got. And it ends up working out for them. They've done a great job there. But in that same draft, you know, Sam Darnold, the Jets already moved on from him.
Yeah.
They already said, no, we're all set. So there's another one that they're all set from. And now Baker Mayfield, who went number one in that draft. Mm. And there's some thought that he's not long for the job in Cleveland either. In fact, you're hearing from those in Cleveland, prominent voices, who believe that he's played his last game for the Browns. Here's Aaron Goldhammer in Cleveland talking about it.
Well, I think Baker has played his last game as a Brown. So I don't even think this is about competition. I think that he's just toast. In part because I think the Browns are ready to move on, and in part because I think he wants a change of scenery, which I think you'll see that take place here over the course of the next couple of weeks. So then the Browns have to come up with a better answer. And my guess is, guys, it'll come from one of two places. Now, the draft thing is really dicey this year. The Browns could end up with a top 10 pick, but there are no top 10 quarterbacks in this draft, I don't think. And I think what's most likely is there's a second tier of guys that come available in the Derek Carr, Matt Ryan conversation. And I would bet on one of those guys being the starting quarterback of the Browns next year.
Derek Carr, Matt Ryan. But again, it's all about what's available. By the way, Aaron Goldhammer sounds like he should be in Austin Powers, right? Like he should have been a villain in Austin Powers.
Matt Ryan is interesting because he's played okay. Not bad. And you
still
give
some
him,
left
you,
though, right?
You give Matt Ryan a running game like that, I'm sure it may be time to move on. I know he has a high cap number, but it would be lower than what they would give Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. You still have Case Keenum right there for a backup. So, I mean, that's not a bad move. The question is Arthur Blank in Atlanta ready to move on from Matt Ryan?
Yeah, again, in the window closing for Cleveland, you want to get something done. You want to do it sooner rather than not later. Hey, the Nets and Lakers were once finals favorites. How likely is that matchup now?
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.